Hello, I'm Will Shires and this is Talking Trucks. In this episode, I catch up with Richard Montgomery. He's the MD at Mitchells and Mansfield Transport and Distribution. Early this year, he took delivery of an electric Renault 18-tonner. The truck has settled into the fleet well, and the firm is winning work as a result of it. Richard firmly believes that other hauliers should follow him down the zero tailpipe emission route, and quickly too. Richard, thank you very much for joining me.
No problem.
First of all, tell me a bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, so my name's Richard Montgomery. I'm the Managing Director for Mitchells and Mansfield Transport and Distribution. We are an overnight palletised network distributor based in Nottingham and servicing the NG postcode. To give you an idea, we will collect and deliver a pallet in Nottinghamshire every 20 seconds Wow. of the working day, every day of the week.
Gosh. All right, so how many trucks are you running?
We've got 42 vehicles on the fleet currently.
And how many of those are Renaults?
42.
Really?
Really, yeah. We moved to Renault more than anything, built on a relationship. And for me, the relationship that I have with RH Commercials, it's a very mutual beneficial relationship to be in.
Okay. So tell us what we're sat in. This is a bit special, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a bit special. This is a UK first for, it's the Renault E-Tech wide body. 18-ton curtain side rigid truck. It carries a 2-ton tail lift on the back, so this is our perfect work tool. This vehicle will do an average of about 20 drops a day in and around Nottinghamshire, which will include the daily use of the tail lift.
Yeah,
up and down. So that's the tool of the trade, if you like.
It
basically, we are very fortunate, and I think for understanding what your vehicle has to do, or you're asking it to do, is based around how much data you can collate to start with. So having an understanding of what your fleet's capable to do will give you an idea if an EV vehicle will fit within your business.
I see. So when did you start thinking about it? I mean, first of all, okay. Let's put it this way. We all know the industry is moving to zero tailpipe emission trucks, but why now? You could have waited another 10 years.
Yeah, I could. And the reason I haven't is there are many reasons for me. So let's look at the reasons that why you wouldn't start with.
Okay.
So if you were to look at an EV HGV on paper at a price point, it might give you a bit of a lump in your throat, and you kind of think, wow, that's quite, you know, a leap to make, if you like. For example, you might be able to replace three of your fossil fuel fleet for the price of one EV.
Yes.
So on paper, with your head, does it work? It's a tough swallow to figure that out. But for me, it was a bigger picture than that. As a company, I've been in charge of this business. I've worked for this business for 26 years, and I've run the business now since 2019 as MD. And all that time I've worked for the company, working from the ground upwards, it's really important to me that the name stands for something in the area, that everything that we do, there's credibility to it.
Yeah.
So I decided in 2021 to have our 2020 carbon assessed. I thought it was a practical thing to do, to figure out what it is you need to do and where it is you need to get to. You've got to start with a baseline. So collating the data was a bit of a tough call. It takes a lot of time and understanding, and there's two ways of doing it. You can pay an external company to come in and do it for you. You can do it yourself in your own time. I did it in my own time. It made more sense to me. I knew the data was accurate.
Yes.
And we got to the point where I knew what the carbon emissions were, which then gave me once you get on this train, it's difficult to get off. So understanding what carbon you produce kind of gets to the point where you kind of think, wow, well, now I know, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
So looking at an EV in a monetary value is a tough call to do at the minute. But the picture's bigger than that. So I knew back then that we were going to get to the point where, as a younger generation started taking over business, we would get to the point where sustainability and credibility to saying sustainability was something that was going to be important to these people. And it is. So maybe three of every five sales calls that we receive now, two questions are asked. One is, can you send me your prices, which is a usual scenario.
Yeah.
And secondly, what are you doing about sustainability?
Really?
Really. And I kind of think now, and I know from personal experience that we've physically gained business in the past 6 months based on the homework and the carbon reduction plan that I've put into place. And I think the biggest driver for me with this is I have a 7-year-old daughter. And she'll come home from school and she brings me pictures home, and one day they've been talking about climate change. She'll bring me home a picture, and she brought me home a picture of the planet on fire. And she's like, "Oh, look, Daddy, I've drawn this picture of this planet on fire." And I sat there, having had this carbon assessment done, knowing that we're a big emitter, and knowing that there's technology out there that could make a difference, I don't think I could sit there comfortably knowing that she'll ever come to me and say, "Well, do you know, way back then, there was options. Why didn't you take them?"
Yeah.
I think you have to. So this is, take away the price, there's a bigger picture. And the bigger picture is, what we've done with this vehicle is we've legitimised our sustainability plan. We've not only just saying, oh, there's a real common problem with an understanding, and I think this is maybe half of the problem. There's an assumption that if you plant trees, you can offset your carbon.
Yeah.
That's not true. It's a common misconception.
Okay.
So it takes 6 trees 15 years of growth to offset 1 tonne of carbon.
Does it?
So what if you've decided now that you're planting trees, you're only offsetting a 1 tonne of carbon 15 years in the future. You're not changing what's happening now.
Yeah.
Now, for me, that made no sense to me. So we partnered with a company called Ecology, a certified B carbon credit broker. And I made the decision on reducing our carbon to allow us to work in a carbon neutral environment by 2027. So over the next 4 years, we will fund certified B carbon projects to get us to that carbon neutral position. On the side of that, we are also planting trees at 250 trees a month, purely for reforestation and for wild animal habitats, nothing to do with the carbon. And what I've got from that is a great looking platform which I can share with customers and clients, and it shows you our virtual carbon map. So you'll see the projects that we're working on, they're explained to you, where we're recapturing the carbon, and where these projects are taking place, and you can see that the carbon's being reduced. And I think that, for me now, I'm comfortable that I've taken that leap. When everybody said to me, "It's not going to work," I was quite pioneering in, we used to operate diesel fork trucks, we moved to electric, everybody said to me, "It won't work." It does work. You've just got to take that leap. Yeah. My concern is that everybody, for me, all the operators that I speak to, a lot of the operators that I speak to, are still quite hesitant. They're waiting, they want to give it another, let's give it another couple of years, let's see what changes. What's changing is your ability to future-proof your own business and to keep the business that you're working with. So you're going to end up with customers that are constantly looking for more green credentials, and that you're going to get left behind. So if you're not on board with this now, and we're not talking about, what we've done with our plan is great. It makes me, it puts me in a comfortable position. 2027, 4 years from now, we'll be operating a carbon neutral situation. I write that money for offsetting for the carbon projects into my forecast over the year, so it's therefore not becoming a lump sum that I'm shelling out every year. And I think that ability to be at that point where I'm comfortable. But as a business, you don't have to follow suit. It doesn't matter whether your carbon plan is 1 year, 5 years, or 10 years. You just need to have one.
Yeah.
You've got to have something that's showing to your client and your customer base that we're looking at this. There's an understanding that we're an emitter. And we want to make sure that we're doing what we can. So, we're going to make a commitment to an electric vehicle, an hydrogen-powered vehicle, something that just says we're taking baby steps currently. And for me, outside of what we do as a network distributor, so we work solely in the NG postcode, taking one of these vehicles outside of that comfortable base-to-base return operation, it is a problem. The infrastructure currently isn't there, but what it is there for these operations. And I genuinely think that if you study your operation and what you do, there's a space for an EV somewhere within it.
I see.
And what it is, and I said to you, when you get on this train, it's hard to get off. So I'm quite a passionate enthusiast. You know, I still get up every morning. I enjoy going to work. I enjoy making sure that, you know, what we do stands for something. It's important to me. It's my legacy. You know, I need to know that when I pass this business on to the next family member, that I did right by it. You know, I'm not leaving him a problem that he's got to get over, because at that point it'll be too late for him.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll be surpassed by people that have taken that risk, that desire to do better, to show that actually we can change. And the fear of change and the fear of not understanding kilowatt hours, battery capacity, charging capacity, range anxiety, all them things are bottled up together, which make a tough call for some people. What you want to try and do is get somebody within your business to be an ambassador for it. And I think once you've got somebody driving it, it's quite infectious.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's there's a lot of distance to go yet with infrastructure in the UK for point A to point B deliveries. I'd like to see, for instance, our network operation, we'll put 10 of our tractor units into networks overnight, and for 5 hours a night they are sat in a car park waiting to be called back. Now this is the difference. So if I can get chargers put into places like that, where we can get 4 hours, 5 hours of available charge, and then that vehicle come back, well, that means I can use that vehicle in rotation.
Yeah.
I can use it day and night and take the small opportunities that we get to feed some charge back into it.
I see. So what's the reaction been from customers and the public?
Okay, customers have been phenomenal. We've obviously had a great social media drive through all the network, all the platforms, if you like, publicising the fact that we have an electric vehicle. And I had a payoff this week. We received a call from a customer, and just to understand, we are quite an expensive carrier in the area for what we do, but all that money is constantly reinvested in making sure that we're nobody's weakest link, hence where we're sat today. I received a call from a customer this week that basically came into sales. I recorded the call and downloaded it, which basically this guy states, the sales lady basically says to him, listen, we're probably going to be a little bit more expensive. And his reaction was, I'm not concerned about the cost. You have an electric vehicle.
Wow.
And a sustainability plan. And you kind of think, that's one. You know, we've had this truck on the road now for about 4 weeks. We've had a lot of positive feedback, but now it's starting to show that this is being picked up and looked at. And I think it will just keep gaining traction.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, we are doing the right thing. People want that buy-in. That, you know, they can now, that whatever we do to reduce our carbon helps them to reduce their carbon. So why would they not look for somebody that assists them in that situation?
Yeah,
so
fantastic.
The feedback from the drivers and the staff, the driver went from using a manual diesel vehicle into this vehicle.
Well, that's quite some leap, isn't it?
Apprehensive at first. Now he would never go back.
Really?
And he'd had no experience of electric car driving before. This was his first EV. So, you know, we had a little bit of dealing with range anxiety, which I think is something that everybody, that if you've not been exposed to an EV before, and when I bought my first EV in 2015, I was sat in a room.
2015? What did you buy?
A Tesla Model S.
Okay.
Now, it was before nobody even knew what a Tesla was.
Yeah.
And they sat me in a room a little bit like a good cop, bad cop situation, shone a light on me and said, right, we need to talk to you about range anxiety. And I'm like, what do you mean you're talking about range anxiety? What are you talking about? I don't know what it is. And they kind of said, it's the fear of not using the vehicle and the worry that when you get home, you won't want to use it. And I'm like, no, you must be crazy. I can't wait to get the vehicle. I'm excited. 3 weeks later, I wanted to give the vehicle back because I couldn't get past it.
Yeah.
And the only way to get past it is to trust what the vehicle says it will do. You have to push your limits. So I refused to take my wife out anywhere because unless I knew there was somewhere I could plug the car in, because it got to the point that even though the car would tell me it would do 240 miles, a trip to work made me anxious and I worked 2 miles from home. So you have to get past that.
Yeah,
the good thing about the driver is, with the support from RH Commercials and the training that we've been given, we've got the pilot quickly past that point and to the point when he's quite, we know for a fact this truck will run 2 days without a single charge. And I've come across people that say to me, well, why do you charge it every day? Well, why would you not? This is not a test. This is not a let's just test this vehicle to destruction and see when it fails. If you set something up to fail, it's likely it's going to fail.
Yeah.
If you have an opportunity to charge it, then you always take it. And I think, you know, once you've got past that point of trusting the vehicle, I think the rest of it is just, it looks like a truck. There's no denying it looks like a truck and it drives like a truck. It's just very quiet and very talky. It does catch you unawares.
Yes.
When pulling away, the fact that you're kind of catching the steering wheel in your hands pretty quickly. But for us, for me, it was a no-brainer. I think, you know, am I going to see a saving on the vehicle? Probably not. Have I leased it over a life cycle longer than I ordinarily would? Absolutely.
How long?
10 years.
10 years.
10 years. So that, you know, in order to get the price point down to... You have to fit that vehicle somewhere in with your fleet and what your fleet's costing you. And the only way to do that with this vehicle at that time was to look at it over a 10-year period, yeah. Which we did.
So it could end up having a midlife revamp.
Exactly. So you have to. There has to be a realisation that at some point, for me, I know that because of the operation that we run in, by year four, it's going to want a bit of a facelift.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to want an underrun bar, set of curtains, maybe a tail lift. It's going to want the wheels blasting and repainting. So over that 10-year life cycle, you're absolutely right. You have to factor in at least one refurbishment. The great thing about the Renault product is they have a 10-year battery guarantee, which means when they spec you a vehicle, they base it on the worst-case scenario based on the degradation of the battery cells over a 10-year period. So, for instance, if you lost 10% of that battery over 10 years, which is what an average car battery will lose, they only spec the battery for your operation at the very lowest option to make sure that guarantee stands for something. But, you know, within the contract that I've got, within the lease that I've got, I have got a battery change or two battery changes depending on worst-case scenario. And the thing is, with new technology, does it come with teething problems? Absolutely. Why wouldn't it? Anything you buy now that's a new, a prototype, something different, you have to accept that it comes with little niggles. Have they been detrimental to the truck's operation? No. You know, are they learning curves for us and for Renault and RH Commercials? Absolutely. But I think you have to be on board with that. It's people like us that take that decision that we're going to make an effort that help move these things forward.
Yeah. So have there been any significant disadvantages?
No. I genuinely can say no, there hasn't. When I say teething problems, I'm talking about a misunderstanding. So we've just been talking with RH Commercials and Renault about training, and I brought up a point of things like training contractors to work on vehicles. So you can see in here that we have the Web Fleet system and the Brigade system, and ordinarily these guys would come and they would install straight into the systems that they used to. Well, they did that exactly in here, but Renault said no, they can't plug it into there, it has to be plugged into there. So these two little operations caused a slight problem with the charging unit talking to the canvas system of the vehicle.
Yeah.
So the vehicle was reporting it wasn't charging. But it's learning, you know.
Of course.
Without that instruction, well, now they know that when they spec these for vehicles, they now have an installation plan for it based off the learning that we've given. So no, you know, if... hand on heart, you know, the thought of electrifying our fleet gives me a great sense of pride. It also gives me a great sense of concern and worry at the minute, and the fact, not based on the technology, but based on the infrastructure that I would need to do that,
yeah,
and it has to be a concern. If you're talking about looking at something like an electrical substation built on your premises, you're looking at circa £1.5 to £2 million worth of investment. If you're looking at using storage batteries in containers to electrify a fleet, again, you're well over the £1 million mark. And what it does is it stacks layers of concern for hauliers. So you're buying an expensive truck. You've got to realistically find somewhere within your property to park that day in, day out. With a diesel truck, you can move your fleet around your premises. With electric, you're kind of stuck to... So you need to allocate it space to charge. And then you've got to start buying chargers. Now, the chargers will range from £5,000 up to £35,000 for a fast DC charger, which will charge your vehicle in 2.5 hours. Now, for somebody who wants to run a single truck operation, that can be a tough pill.
Yeah.
Because not only are you overpaying for your vehicle's as expensive as a diesel, but you're running it over a longer period, you factor in two facelifts, now you're factoring in the potential of putting a £35,000 charger on top of that. But there are ways around it. So you've got to kind of do your homework. Me, for instance, we spoke with the charging company, and we discovered that actually you can plug this vehicle direct into a three-phase supply. So if you've got an operation within your business, within your warehouse that's using three-phase, providing that the leads are short enough run, you can plug it direct into three-phase, and it's taken us from a 50% charge to 100% about 4 hours. And that costs around about £45, based on obviously what you're paying per kilowatt hour.
Yeah.
What was the diesel equivalent? The diesel equivalent was about the same, to be fair. About 40 quid a day we were putting in that vehicle to cover the same distance. So there's no you can't expect to buy an electric vehicle and see this huge saving. That's not how it is. You've got to see past the price point. Yeah. You've got to see what this business does for your business, not only now, but moving forward the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, fascinating.
And you want to be part of that. I mean, I don't understand is anybody that's looking at this now, whether you're looking at hydrogen, whether you're looking at electric, and suddenly thinking, I don't think it's going to work. Well, it has to work, and we have to make change. And if you're not in it, I genuinely think you're going to find it tough.
Yeah.
It's 18 months, about 18 months from order to delivery on one of these vehicles. That's longer than it takes for a capital city, a local, to put a low emission zone in. What are you going to do? You're going to charge. You're going to pay to go into that zone every day, or do you suddenly think, actually, do you know something? I want to be ahead of the game. I want to make sure that when these things come, and I think it was every major city, I'd seen a document that said roughly by 2028, the majority of the major cities in the UK would have a low emission zone. Well, I want to make sure that I've made sure that the business is ready for that. You know, ordering a truck on announcement of one is not going to get you to where you want to be, and then you're backtracking. I would like to see a situation where, so we work with 3 or 4 overnight networks in the UK, and I'd like to see each one of their members or what each one of the networks stepping up and saying, right, you know something, by 2030 we're going to have all of our network members carbon assessed as part of their membership to this network, and then each one of them is going to have a carbon plan. And, you know, by that point, each one of them needs to operate a single electric vehicle.
Yeah.
And what that allow you to do is dip your toes in the water, even if it's a 3.5-ton van. You dip your toes in the water, but it gives the network the opportunity to offer to the customers a zero emissions collection and delivery service, which they might be prepared to pay a surcharge for. If it's a green service, you know, the customer might be happy to pay the end user. Then you've got the manufacturer or the distributor happy to, you know, pay that additional cost. But as a network and as an industry for what we do, this technology fits, and they should be adopting it. And my fear is each one of them is waiting to see what the other one does. And then it'll be a catch-up game. So one, it's like chess. One of the networks will make a move. It'll be publicised. It will go down well. You know, they'll gain a lot of business quickly because there's a clear picture of something happening, and then everybody will jump on board. And it's like we're just waiting. Everybody's peering over the fence just to see, you know, who's going to do it first? Who's going first? Who's going first? Somebody has to draw a line in the sand. You know, we've done it here. People said to me that this wouldn't work. It does work. What doesn't work is the fear of change. And I think we can get past that. You're in a good place.
Fantastic. Really interesting hearing that. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Cheers.
Anytime.
If you've been enjoying the Talking Trucks podcast, make sure you keep up to date with the latest news, legal advice, interviews, and road tests with Commercial Motor Magazine, delivered direct to your door every week. Subscribe today for just £35 per quarter by visiting commercialmotor.com/podcast.